Title of the message is Put It On. Everybody say it with me. Put it on, strap it down, shut your mouth, and trust your God. I laughed. I was blessed because Sister Jody brought her little niece with her, right? And she's 7 years old. And so, boy, she was taking notes, and she couldn't believe the preacher said, turn to people and tell them, shut your mouth. And so she left here, and she was going around telling everybody, shut your mouth and trust your God. So we ran into them at Sam's the other day, and Jody says, this is the one. And she says, tell Pastor what you learned. And she says, shut your mouth and trust your God. So what we're talking about here, and we're just not going to have a whole lot of time today, but I'll do what I can, but put it on, strap it down, shut your mouth, trust your God, is really all about yoking up with Jesus. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. And the whole idea, what Jesus was trying to say is, if you really want to be free, yoke up with me. Many people hear that term about yoking up with Jesus, and that sounds like bondage to them, but that's a deception of the enemy. The truth of the matter is you are already in bondage, but you're in bondage and you're yoked up with the wrong one who doesn't care about you until you yoke up with Jesus. Amen? Now, when you yoke up with Jesus, there's lots of benefits because then, now, you can go where Jesus goes. You can do what Jesus does. He said that you'll do the same things I did and even greater, right? Well, how do we do that? We got to yoke up with Him. When we yoke up with Him, we can go where He goes. We can do what He does. You yoke up with Jesus, you will see the supernatural and the miraculous. You yoke up with Jesus, you can see any of the miracles happen in your life like what you see in the New Testament. Because He's still alive and well, and He's still working miracles. He's doing it through His church. So we first said, again, put it on. That means you got to make the decision, okay, I'm going to yoke up with Jesus. But secondly, you got to strap that thing down. Because over and over again, I've seen it throughout the years. People, they'll say, okay, I'll try Jesus. I'll put it on. But they don't strap it down. They leave themselves a loophole. They leave themselves an option. If things get tough, I can always get out of this. Right? They come to Jesus with a prenuptial agreement. Right? Well, if you don't do everything I want you to do and it doesn't work out the way I want it to work out, then I'm gone. And I'm going to go find me another love. And unfortunately, that is the mindset of many, many people. And so, you don't just put it on, you got to strap it down. Jesus doesn't just want to be your Savior, but you understand He's got to be your Lord. Amen? And so we put it on, we strap it down, we don't give ourselves an option to leave, and then we shut our mouth. That's what we need to do. We got to shut our mouth because, first off, you know, we need to just really die to self, and that's really what this is about. Shut your mouth is about stop spewing all your opinions and trying to tell God what to do and complaining to God about everything that you don't like, and boy, if I was God, I'd do this different, and so on. So just go ahead and say it again. Shut your mouth. It's really talking about serving God instead of serving self and all of self's wants and lusts and so on and so forth. And then we said, trust your God. You know, the yoke was something that, not just in a practical way, the picture of a larger ox yoked up with a smaller ox. And of course, Jesus is the big ox. We're the little ox. And it's not just the picture of the oxes there that the Jewish people would have understood, but it's also the picture of the rabbis would use that term, take my yoke upon you, when they were inviting someone to become their student. And it was a great honor for a rabbi to choose someone. And parents would spend a lot of time, many times money, to try to prepare their child to yoke up with a rabbi or to become a rabbi's student. It was a great honor that they would receive to be asked to do that. And so when Jesus is asking us to yoke up with Him, what a great honor. He's saying, come and be my student. Learn from me. Amen. Man, can I tell you, there is no greater teacher, right? And so what a beautiful invitation. But then we actually ended last week talking about what keeps us from yoking up with Jesus. What keeps us from surrendering our lives to His control? And we said the number one thing is pride. Pride does. Pride, the Bible tells us, leads to destruction. Yet people still live their lives filled with pride, even in churches, filled with pride. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 10:8, the self-sufficient fool falls flat on his face. So ultimately, what will happen is if a person continues to operate in pride, and it doesn't matter if you're some person who just came into a church and just got saved, or if you're a well-known preacher at a mega church somewhere, you better deal with the pride issue, because you will end up flat on your face. And we have seen example after example after example of that. Amen? And so, the reason we don't give control is pride. We get caught up in it. And the thing about pride is it sneaks around the backside and it gets us when we don't even see it coming many times. You know. And if God uses us, this is why it's so important to give God glory. Always give God the glory. Because if God uses us and I allow myself to get prideful over the fact that God used me, now I'm killing my anointing. Okay? And so I have to be very careful. We want to always give God the glory. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that you can't ever take a compliment. But what I've learned to say is just tell people, well, thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for encouraging me. I appreciate you. So on and so forth. But thank God. I can't do anything without Him. Amen? And so pride, number one. Number two, guilt and shame hold us back. And we hadn't hit this one yet. But guilt and shame. Psalm chapter 40, verse 12. Remember, we're talking about what keeps us from yoking up with Jesus. This is Psalm 40, verse 12 in the Living Bible. It says, problems far too big for me to solve are piled higher than my head. Meanwhile, my sins, too many to count, have caught up with me, and I'm ashamed to look up. Anybody ever been in a situation where you just disappointed yourself so bad that you were so ashamed that you didn't you hated to even talk to God about it because you were just too ashamed to go to Him? Anybody know what I'm talking about besides the guy behind the pulpit here? I want to tell you, I know what that's like. I'll never forget it. One time I had gone to God. I felt like I had failed so miserably, and I kept going to God, and I kept saying, oh, God, forgive me. Every time I think about it, I'd start begging God to forgive me. God, please, God. I can't believe I did that. God, please forgive me. And then after about 50 times, one day, I'll never forget, I was driving. I was just before the highway exit on I-10 driving, and that thought came to me. And of course, the devil's always going to try to bring those thoughts back to you. Look at you, you loser. And I started that again. Oh, God, please forgive me. I can't believe it. And the Lord, this is what I heard Him say. I literally heard Him say, would you please shut up? I'm not kidding with you, okay? Would you please shut up? I forgave you the first time. In fact, I forgave you 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
But I need you to just go ahead and receive that forgiveness. It's like, wow, I hadn't seen it that way before. And then after that, when the temptation would come to start doing that, I would remember what God said to me. Would you please shut up? Many times we'll allow shame and guilt to keep us from surrendering to God completely because we don't think God really wants to use us. But I'm here to tell you today, He wants to use every one of you, every single one of you. He wants your glory to be manifest in His life, and it doesn't matter what you did in the past. Now, He of course wants us to come to that place of living in freedom. He wants us to come to that place of surrendering to His will. But you can't let your past stop you from serving God in a way that brings glory and honor to Him. Thank God for that, because every one of us have a past. Amen?
Amen?
So, but we reach that point where it just seems like, man, it's so piled up, like the scripture we read, it's just so piled up, and I'm so ashamed to look up. I tell people, when you blow it, don't run away from God like the enemy wants you to do. Run to God as fast as you can. In fact, run to Him before you even think about it, and get as close as you can, and grab a hold of Him, and don't let go. And let His love wash over you and cleanse you. So you may say, well, you know, do you know how many times I've made a promise to God and broke it? I'm embarrassed to ask God for help. You know, you don't know what I've done wrong, so on and so forth. I couldn't go to God and ask for help. Well, you're wrong. You can. In fact, He expects you to. He shed the blood of His own Son so that you would have access to Him. So there's no sin that God can't forgive that you are willing to repent of. None. Don't let pride or shame keep you from taking this step. He wants you to experience the forgiveness, the freedom, and guilt. He wants you to yoke up with His Son and go where no man can go without Him. Amen? Number three, fear holds us back. Fear. We're often afraid of what we might have to give up many times. Now, I don't know if anybody else in this room feels that way, but there have been times when God challenged me and it was like, but God, you know, but I've worked so hard for this and I could lose it. Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, I remember when the Lord began to deal with me about finally allowing the church to give us a salary instead of working outside of the church. And I'm like, but God, I've been getting promoted. I'm making more money than I've ever made before. And now you want me to give that up? Yeah. We haven't lacked. I want to tell you, God made up. He filled the gap. And when I say that, I'm not talking about that it all came from church salary. No, we have a base church salary. But God has blessed us above and beyond in supernatural ways that had nothing to do with the church salary. Yeah. I'm telling you, He'll open up doors and do things in a way you didn't see that coming. Like, wow, I really didn't see that coming. God, only you could have set that up. But fear will hold us back. You know, a guy fell off a cliff. I know some of you probably heard this story, but a guy fell off a cliff on the way down. He grabs a branch, and it's really foggy out there, and he has difficulty seeing, but he's hanging on for dear life on that branch. And he cries, somebody help, and he hears God's voice, and it says, this is the Lord. Trust me and let go and you'll be okay. And he says, is that you, God? And God says, yes, this is me. This is the Lord. Trust me. Let go and you'll be okay. And the guy thinks about it for a few seconds. And what does he ask? Anybody else up there? But again, he hears God's voice. This is the Lord. Trust me. Let go and you'll be okay. And he finally decides to let go and to trust God. And when he does, the fog disappears as he lets go and reveals that he's only a foot above the ground. Sometimes it's like that. We can't see, we don't understand, so we hang on to what we know. And fear will keep us from yoking up with Jesus. You may say, here's another thing, I don't want anybody controlling me. Well, somebody's controlling you. Much rather it be the Lord. And somebody's controlling you whether you realize it or not. You're being controlled all the time. Right now, if you're not surrendered to Christ, you're letting pride and shame and fear and the devil himself control you. And so, there you are, your life's gone over a cliff, and you're holding on, and you need to let go, and you need to really let God have control. The thing is, remember, we're talking about trust your God. We don't yoke up with Him because we don't really trust Him. We think we have a better idea for our lives than He does. I've had people tell me over the years, well, I would be a Christian, but I'm afraid God's going to make me do this or God's going to make me do that. Well, go to hell then. If that makes you feel better. I wouldn't say that to be ugly either, by the way. I'm just saying, this is your choice. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, listen, don't worry about what He might have you give up. Instead, think about what you're going to gain. Yes. Now, let me give you one last scripture, and we're going to have to close it out right here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 23. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then there's a but. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I want to tell you, I'll take love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control any day over that other list we just read. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, that other list is a typical description of the world. And I'm going to end with this. Sometimes over the years, I've seen parents really, really royally mess up. Because their child will have some kind of a talent, some kind of ability, And, you know, and in their heart, they want their kid to be the next American Idol or whatever it is. And the reason for that, first of all, was pride. It's about pride because you want to say, my kid does this or my kid did that. But I have seen many, many parents get behind things that their children wanted to be involved with, that they found some talent there, only for that child to go to destruction, chasing the things of the world. And here's, this is strong language, but what the parent doesn't know is they're actually prostituting their kid out to the devil. Now, if somebody was doing that in the natural, in a way that we understand, we would say they need to go to prison. We'd say that is a terrible parent. We'd say, why would that parent do something like that? Selling your kid off as a prostitute. But yet, spiritually speaking, I've seen many parents do that because they're trying to cause their kids to go out and be something big in the world and send their kid off into a culture that destroys them. And what little faith that child may have gets ripped out in pursuit of all the worldly pleasures that this world has to offer. That doesn't mean that you can't be successful in something outside. I'm not saying everybody has to be a pastor or something like that. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is the church needs to stop trying to look for celebrities and create celebrities. The church needs to stop trying to be the next American Idol and instead be servants of God where there is no idols. Amen? All right, so I'm going to end it with that. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. If we teach our children to pursue things of the world more than they pursue the things of God, we're causing them to prostitute themselves to the enemy. And I know some of y'all parents may have to answer some questions after this one, but it'd be a good discussion to have with your kids. Father, I thank you for every person that's in this room. I thank you for every person listening to this message this morning. Father, I thank you, God, that your presence is here and has manifested in this house today. Lord, I thank you that you're changing hearts. You're scrubbing things that need to be scrubbed, God. You're putting oil on things that need to be oiled, God. You're doing things that need to be done in the lives of your people today. Because, God, we know things are not getting better in this world. And, Father, we can't just go along with whatever the world is doing. And we can't just sit back doing nothing. Father, you called us to be salt and to be light. I pray for every person here, for every family here, God, that your anointing, God, would be something that is desired above anything else, oh God, in this world. That your presence would be desired above anything else that this world would have to offer. Father, we're tired of seeing our children lost to the world. We're tired of seeing our kids chasing everything except for your presence, God. And I'm tired of seeing parents not bring their kids into the presence of God, but Lord, instead promoting things that are deadly to them. Father, today we want to just tell you, we want to yoke up with you. We're ready to put it on, strap it down, shut our mouth and trust you, God. But all these things, God, these things like pride, these things like fear, Lord, these things that keep us from serving you, from yoking up with you. These things, Lord, that get in the way. Lord, fear. All of these things, God, we break their hold by your authority, by your power right now in Jesus' name. We make the choice to let you come into our lives and to break the power of those things in our lives. Lord, we surrender. We know the only way that's possible is surrender to you. So, Lord, today we surrender. We say yes to you, Jesus. We say yes, we yoke up with you. We will learn from you. We will go with you where you go. We'll do what you do, God. We're going to make an impact because of your glory on our lives. And we give you all praise and all honor and all glory. It all belongs to you in Jesus' name. If you're in agreement with that, won't you shout a big amen?
Amen.